You're listening to Vatican Radio. Pope Francis takes off for the Georgian capital, Tbilisi, on Friday for a two-day visit to the majority Orthodox Republic. As well as meeting with religious and civil authorities in Tbilisi, the Pope will travel to the nearby ancient city of Mitsketa, founded in the 5th century BC and famed as one of UNESCO's World Heritage Sites. The former capital contains many important monuments of early Christian architecture, including the 11th century Patriarchal Cathedral. The visit comes 17 years after Pope John Paul II made a landmark trip to the Republic, then struggling to rebuild as an independent nation following 70 years of Soviet domination. Dr. Tamara Gridzelidze is an Orthodox theologian and Georgia's ambassador to the Holy See. Ahead of the papal visit, she sat down with me to talk about her expectations for the trip and about the historical difficulties between the Catholic and Orthodox churches in her country. When Pope John Paul visited Georgia 17 years ago, it was the first ever papal visit to that region, and it was only the second time that a pope had visited a majority Orthodox country. What, for you, is the significance of this visit by Pope Francis?
Pope Francis, first of all, brings joy to every place he goes, so I hope he will do this in Georgia as well. He always speaks so that he gets to the hearts of people and nations, because we've been following closely his visits, and it is true that he finds this right angle to talk to the nations. So I hope very much that his visit will be really good for Georgia, because then the Georgians can understand this wisdom and spiritual joy that he carries with him. And also for him to see one of the oldest Christian countries, although we are small, we are old.
It's a very significant story, isn't it? The evangelization, yes, that began in the 4th century by a woman.
Yes, it's a very, very special sort of start of Christian life in Georgia, because this was a young woman from Cappadocia, according to the tradition, who came to evangelize the Georgian nation, and she was successful. She first converted the queen, then the king, and then it became the official religion of the state.
What kind of reception, then, do you think the Georgian people will give to Pope Francis?
I think he will be very much admired and appreciated by many. It's not just my hope, but I know that I hear from various people saying that how wonderful that Pope is coming. And I think, nobody will be surprised that this particular Pope, who is so popular everywhere, creates a different atmosphere about his presence. So, yes, he will be very much welcomed by many. And certainly there will be some difficulties, which I don't even want to mention, but it's better to know this in advance rather than be badly surprised. There are some really marginal groups who are against anything in this world, and they might be unhappy.
You're talking about groups within the Orthodox Church who are against.
Well, they claim sometimes they are with the Orthodox Church, but I honestly don't believe that they belong to the Orthodox Church, and especially I have one group in mind, acts and operates in their own way, with independently from the Patriarchate.
The vast majority of the people, of course, belong to the Orthodox Church.
Indeed, yes.
How would you describe the relationship today with the tiny Catholic community?
Difficult is the first word, I would say. Yeah, I think because it is all new to us. Many things can be explained and excuses found on the basis that 25 years ago we got this independence and freedom, and the church was free to act on its own. So it is a long way to go.
So you're saying the legacy of Soviet atheism still hangs heavy?
Legacy of the Soviet culture, but also the fact that the church all of a sudden became independent and in charge, and they are trying very much to be the national symbol, which works actually in Georgia at the moment. This all puts the Catholics in a difficult situation, certainly. But there are many good examples of good cooperation also between the churches, and there are examples of good relationships. And because I worked so many years for the Church Unity, I know that
at the World Council of Churches.
I know that it's a very, very difficult and sensitive issue. This is identity issue and legacy and many other things. So just to expect that now in the majority Orthodox countries, this tiny Catholic community will be treated absolutely in a just way, it's too much to expect this, but, you know, we should work on it.
What do you expect then in this context, this difficult context that you're describing? What are your hopes for the Pope's visit with regard to the ecumenical dialogue?
The Pope tries very much to bring on board Christians from all traditions. Actually, I made this observation recently in connection with the Laudato Si. My reading of Laudato Si, and especially Pope's message of the 1st of September this year, which he calls the renewing of dialogue with the world on the day of creation, I think that this is one serious catalyst in all this, is to bring all spiritual leaders, but especially all Christians, together. Because if you look at what Pope has done last year, you know, he's done enormous efforts were directed towards bringing Orthodox and Catholics together. You know, he's a little bit controversial meeting with Patriarch Kirill. You know, he did everything to meet him. He went to Cuba. He's very good relations with Patriarch Bartholomew, but especially his visit to Lesbos with Bartholomew and Archbishop of Athens. Now his visit to Georgia, you know, he is trying very much to have good personal relations with Orthodox leaders, which are quite resistant, you know, not always, but they find it problematic to speak about unity, doctrinal unity. So
what can you tell us about Patriarch Ilia? He's a hugely popular person, isn't he? He's more trusted than almost any other figure in the country today.
In Georgia, he has enormous sort of influence. People almost worship him. It's an expression of people's love, yes. But when people sometimes quite irresponsibly say that they would listen to the church on every matter, whether it's political or social or something, I don't think this is, it gives credibility to Ilia, who is himself a very credible person as a leader of the church. He's been there since 1977. He literally renewed the church life, I must say, because the monastic life, and there was not a single journal, there was not, there is a lot now on the part of the church, and it's all accredited to his leadership.
What is the relationship of the churches then, particularly the Orthodox Church, with the government today?
With the government, it's a very interesting relationship in Georgia, because constitutionally the church is separate from state, yes. But at the same time, our constitution gives a special sort of role to the Orthodox Church of Georgia in history of Georgian nation, which is true. And then there is this direction also to give some compensations to the church, of which they were deprived during the communist era.
My thanks there to Dr. Tamara Gridzelidze, Ambassador of the Republic of Georgia to the Holy See.